Now, this year, in this series of talks, we're going to follow what we may describe as an opposite procedure. We're going to study this year aspects of the higher evolution of the individual. Now, what does this mean? We're still concerned, of course, with the higher evolution. But we're concerned with it in a different sort of way. We're going to study it not so much in general, but in particular. We're going to study the spiritual development of the individual human being. And in particular, we shall be concerning ourselves with some of the problems, sometimes some of the very difficult problems encountered in the course of that development by the individual. In other words, if last year we looked at the subject of the higher evolution through a telescope to see it as big as possible, this year we're going to look at it through a microscope. And under the microscope we shall be putting, in effect, ourselves. Now, we are studying, or we are about to study, the higher evolution of man. Study the development of the individual man. Man by himself, man alone. Not man as member of the group, member of the herd, member of the crowd. The individual man. Man by himself, standing alone. But the question arises, in what does that development consist? Even the question arises, what is man? Unless we have at least some clear idea of the nature of man, it will be impossible for us to understand in what it is that his higher evolution or development consists. Now, to put it as simply, not to say crudely, as possible, in terms of popular thought and popular expression, a man consists of two well-known parts. There's his body, his physical body, and there's his mind, or his consciousness. His body belongs to, or rather is the product of, is derived from, the lower evolution. He has inherited this physical body, so fearfully and wonderfully made, from a long series of animal ancestors extending back into dim and very distant ages. His mind too, we may say, belongs to the lower evolution. Some of you might be a bit surprised by this. You might have been expecting me to say, but the mind belongs, of course, to the higher evolution. But not a bit of it. The mind of man belongs to the lower evolution. Sometimes man is defined as a rational animal. This, I believe, is Aristotle's definition. But we now know that some, at least, of the higher animals are able to reason. So, ordinary rational consciousness, man as a rational being, belongs still to the lower evolution. But potentially, at least, the mind of man belongs to the higher evolution. The human body has remained unchanged for hundreds of thousands of years. It seems to have reached, so far as we can tell, the pinnacle, the limit of its development. But the mind, on the other hand, is capable of almost infinite development. Man, therefore, we may say, is mind rather than body. If his future lies anywhere, it lies in his mind. And the higher evolution of man, we may therefore say, consists essentially in the continued development of his mind or his consciousness. And this brings us, perhaps not too soon, to our principal subject for tonight, which is how consciousness evolves. That is to say, we come to the question of the successive stages of development through which consciousness passes in its upward ascent.